Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
It was a very, very careful and well-written opinion, and it was very well grounded in the facts of the case. We said at the beginning that we would establish three things: that marriage was a fundamental right, that depriving gay and lesbian citizens of the right to marry harmed them and harmed their children, and that depriving gays and lesbians of the right to marry could not help heterosexual marriage at all. The judge pointed out that we were right on all three of those grounds, and that not only were we right, but the defendant's own witnesses had admitted those three propositions during the trial. So I think that one of the things that the judge has done is has made a very, very strong opinion that's very, very difficult to overturn on appeal.
That's Attorney David Boyce reacting to Judge Vaughn Walker's decision in August to overturn California's ban on same-sex marriage. Well, the case of Perry versus Schwarzenegger now goes to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and here to give us an update on Prop 8 in California is Dr. Jennifer Roback-Moore. She's a regular guest. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for more than 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Well, you heard what David Boyce had to say. He says marriage is a fundamental right. Ain't going to hurt heterosexual marriage at all, and it will hurt homosexuals and their families if you ban same-sex marriage. Your rebuttal.
Well, you know, the one thing you notice they didn't talk about is they didn't talk about what's the purpose of marriage in the first place. Why does society need marriage? What is marriage? What's the point of having marriage? And if you look at what this genius George Vaughn Walker said about the purposes of marriage, there's really nothing left as a purpose of marriage. I don't have it in front of me, but I think I've read it to your reader, to your listeners before. He basically says that marriage is state recognition of people's decision to live together based on their feelings for each other and their decision to set up a household together. Under that definition, marriage has nothing to do with children, procreation, bringing forth the next generation. There's no particular requirement that marriage should be permanent, no particular presumption in favor of sexual exclusivity. As a matter of fact, under Judge Walker's definition of marriage, there's no reason marriage has to be even a sexual relationship at all. And I've often pointed out to my students in my in lectures that I do that under Judge Walker's definition of marriage, many of them could count as married to their college roommates. There's just nothing left of the institution of marriage by the time people like Judge Walker and David Boies get finished with it. So the point is, if that's what marriage is, that we have a fundamental right to, why does society even need it? There's really nothing left to marriage except a government registry of friendships, which is really quite pointless. So they've dodged completely the fundamental question of why society needs marriage in the first place as a social institution.
Okay, so Prop 8 has been temporarily kind of held or overturned by Judge Vaughn Walker.
That's right.
Next week, it gets another hearing. What is going to happen next week?
Well, next week it goes to the Federal Court of Appeals, and it will be held in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is located in San Francisco, and which is notoriously the most liberal circuit court in America. And in fact, they drew a three-judge panel. I guess they draw them randomly. And Justice Stephen Reinhardt was chosen to be one of the three judges who will hear this case. Well, turns out Judge Reinhardt's wife is the executive director, I think, of the ACLU in Southern California. And the ACLU of Southern California has had an interest in this case. And so there have been calls for Judge Reinhardt to recuse himself from this case, which he has steadfastly refused to do. He claims that he's perfectly capable of being objective. I guess he can be as objective about this case as he is about any other. And the fact that his wife and his wife's organization might have some interest in the case, we're not supposed to notice that. But in any case, for your readers, or for your listeners, rather, to learn more about it, they can go to the NOM, National Organization for Marriage, nationformarriage.org website, and learn more about it there, or the ruthblog.org, and learn more about why we think it would be a good idea for the judge to recuse himself, and how you can get involved in maybe trying to request that he do so.
Okay, now you have written this, and I want you to drive the point home if it doesn't already done well enough by what you've written. You say, if the courts find that there is a federal right to same-sex marriage, there will be same-sex marriage all over the country immediately, end of story. This is true?
Well, basically, I mean, if it survives the appeals process and so on, I mean, it won't happen the next day, but it'll happen pretty darn quick if the federal courts say that there is a federal right to same-sex marriage. Yeah, that's it. The Supreme Court says that there's same-sex marriage. That's it. That, you know, that will apply to everybody. So I don't care if your state constitution has a constitutional amendment saying marriage is one man and one woman. If the Supreme Court says that that violates federal constitution, that's the end of it. So what happens in the Ninth Circuit and then finally on appeal, if it ends up at the U.S. Supreme Court being appealed, that really is the end of the story. So, yeah, people need to be paying attention to this, even if you're not in California.
Well, now, you said if. I can't imagine a circumstance in which the opponents of Prop 8 would give up if they lose on appeal. And I can't imagine a circumstance in which the proponents of Prop 8 would not appeal if they lost the case.
I can't imagine a circumstance, Todd, and it would go like this. Of course, no one ever wants to talk like this, but I'm going to talk like this, and your listeners can conclude for themselves why they never hear this scenario. If indeed at the Ninth Circuit Court, if the Ninth Circuit upholds Proposition 8 and says no, there is no presumption of a federal right to same-sex marriage, and Prop 8 can stand. If the Ninth Circuit says that, I think it's an open question whether Olson and Boies will take that and appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court, because the last thing they want to do is lose at the Supreme Court level. So they might choose not to take it. Now, the reason you never hear anybody consider that as a possibility is that for the chattering classes and the intelligentsia of the United States, it's a foregone conclusion that all decent, normal, right-thinking people support same-sex marriage. And so, of course, the Ninth Circuit is going to support Judge Walker. But I actually think that is not a foregone conclusion. I think that, contrary to what you heard David Boies say there are many flaws in Judge Walker's opinion and many places where I think the Ninth Circuit probably will not support him entirely. So, it's an open question how this thing's going to play out.
I guess what it does also highlight, with only about a minute here, Jen, is that this is something that has been, in spite of the fact that Californians voted overwhelmingly for Prop 8, this is something that's always inevitably going to end up in the courts, and it will be judges who decide this ultimately for us. We're pretty much stuck with that. Your thoughts with about 30 seconds.
Well, that's the unbelievable and really outrageous situation that we find ourselves in. The plain fact of the matter is that Proposition 8 was a perfectly valid election. There was nothing wrong with that election. It was a fair election. People knew perfectly well what they were voting on, and the cause of natural marriage won fair and square. And the gay lobby cannot accept that. They cannot accept that they lost. And so they are taking it to the only forum that they know, which is the courts, in order to get their way. And honestly, if you look at what is going on here, if you have an openly gay judge overturning Prop 8, backed up by a judge in the Ninth Circuit whose wife is a party to the case, the blatant unfairness of that has got to strike any objective observer of the situation. If the courts want to create a situation where they lose their credibility, where they lose their moral authority and their moral standing in the society, you couldn't pick a better setup for doing that. I mean, they are killing their own credibility day by day as they move on with this. This is something that should be decided within the political process, and it should not be hammered on by the courts and forced down the throats of the public. This is completely outrageous.
Folks, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be blogging live from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals next week when Prop 8 lands there. Check out her blog at our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the On Demand section. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for more than 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, keep up the good work, and hopefully talk with you again next week, live from the Ninth Circuit.
Sounds good to me.
When we come back, we're going to continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible. Here's one that's these are hard to reconcile. The various genealogies of Christ and the lists of the apostles seem like minor things, but some people put them forward as proof positive of contradictions in the Bible. Dr. John Seleska will join us for the last half hour. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life women prevail.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Last month, voters elected three new pro-life women governors, including Susana Martinez of New Mexico, Mary Fallon of Oklahoma, and Nikki Haley, the first female governor of South Carolina. Also, Jan Brewer of Arizona was reelected, bringing the total number of pro-life women governors to four, which doubles the number of pro-abortion women governors. In head-to-head matchups against Emily's List, a deep-pocketed pro-abortion group that works to elect pro-abortion women, Susan B. Anthony List candidates won 91% of the time. Good news for the pro-life movement. Good news for the unborn.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.